Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today we're joined by Stephanie Smith, founder from one of our expert partners, Cogwheel Marketing. Today we discuss metasearch and why Stephanie feels investing in metasearch is not the best use of resources for branded hotels at this current time, and why within the current climate and changing guest profiles, she feels metasearch is just a channel shift and is not producing incremental revenue. We dig a little bit deeper into ROAS, return on ad spend, and why comparing your metasearch spend with OTA commission, you may not be comparing apples with apples. And then she outlines where she would be using limited budgets further up the funnel to drive that incremental revenue. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Stephanie. Great to see you again. How are things with you?
Doing good over here in Colorado.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Great to have you join us today. We're going to be focusing in on metasearch. You've written a couple of articles recently that take a slightly different tact and view on it than maybe others would. So we'll get into that in a moment. But before we do, for those that haven't heard our podcasts or videos before, if you could just kind of give us a brief introduction as to who Stephanie and Cogwheel Marketing is.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Trevor. So Cogwheel Marketing is a full-service agency dedicated to helping branded hotels, so primarily Marriott, Hilton, and IHG hotels with their entire digital online journey. So that includes everything from openings with content, SEO, paid marketing, anything that makes sense for a specific hotel in a specific market. And with everything happening with COVID, you know, we've had to do a lot of strategy changes to be able to, you know, realign who our target markets are and make sure that it works with what's going on in the hotel at a given time, with all the different, you know, openings and closings and state and legal governments trying to make that shift. Yeah. So that we make the right strategy plays.
Must be challenging.
Yeah, keeps us on our toes.
And with you guys all working as different states, working in different ways as well, it can be different from one to the other, can't it?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, look, as I say, great for you to join us, and important to stress that the context of this conversation is around branded. And the reason of stressing that is that there are some things that are available and aren't available to the branded properties that you represent as compared to with independent properties. So just lay that out there, because other people might say, well, you could do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah, okay, but maybe that's not available. And if we have the time, we can maybe touch on that and just draw out some of those differences. But let's get into the main topic. And you kind of put out there that, and it's a very simple point, but with a multi-layered answer, is that in your view, at this particular moment in time, metasearch is not where we should be investing the limited dollars that we have. So do you want to tell us why you take that view? Because that is quite different to what other people are proposing at the moment.
Absolutely. So I think, first of all, it's important for me to say that I'm a fan of Book Direct. You know, I want to have I want to send all the business I can through the most profitable channel. But in a post-COVID world, things have changed, and we have to analyze things differently based on who's traveling. And, you know, again, the limited dollars. I mean, budgets have been slashed at every hotel. Where we've been really happy that some of our hotels have leaned into marketing versus pulling back at this given time.
That's refreshing.
It is, but certainly not. It's not the majority either. So I think a lot of people understand the value in marketing. But when you come to us at Cogwheel Marketing, you say, this is my new budget. We're going to probably split that pie a little bit differently than maybe a different agency at mm-hmm. this point in time, or even, you know, just a year ago, we would split the budget differently. And I think metasearch is a key component, and there's been a training of the brain, so to speak, especially from the large brands, that metasearch is where you need to put your funds. And if that's where you want to put it, then I'll put it there. But I have to speak my piece.
So what I mean, you're talking about things have changed, our guest has changed, where we're looking to and how we're looking to acquire that booking. As you say, it's not that you are anti-direct booking at all. It's just, as you say, we've got a smaller pie. So how are we using that more effectively? So talk a little bit about, you know, the guest profile changing and how that is driving us to how we're trying to reach this and trying to acquire that booking, and why metasearch may not be the best approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think Book Direct is a long-term strategy in terms of being able to convert that maybe traditional OTA guest into a direct guest. So this is, mm-hmm. you should be looking at what's the long-term value of a given guest that might be staying at your property. So I think what's changed in the post-COVID world is that the guest has changed. Who was traveling, especially over the summer months and even now into the fall, while we're seeing speckles of BT guests here and there, The guest that was traveling in the summer was not your typical brand loyal guest.
Right,
guest that was traveling did not care about your Marriott Bonvoy points. Depending again on your hotel and market, you may not expect to see any long-term value or repeat future stays from that guest. Mm-hmm. And half of the other piece of it is, if that, you know, guest does come in through an OTA, then you have an opportunity, of course, to transition them into a loyal guest once they get on site.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the current transient guest as a, you know, if they don't have that long-term value, it might be less expensive to let the OTA have that piece of business.
So you're looking at it in terms of, and you've always mentioned this a number of times whenever we've spoken, that your role, as well as doing what the clients ask you to do, is always looking at, okay, how can we take the money and then drive incremental revenue? And I think what I've derived from conversations we've had around this is that what you're really saying is that utilizing that money isn't necessarily taking it, it isn't driving incremental revenue by using that budget. What you're actually doing is you're just pulling it in from a different channel. Is that right?
Yeah. So I see metasearch as a channel shift, less so than incremental revenue. So to talk about that a little bit further. So if you think about the major metasearch channels, so let's talk about Google Hotel Ads, TripAdvisor, Kayak. For them to get into that metasearch ecosphere within any of those channels, they already have to be looking for your hotel and looking at rates at your hotel.
Yeah.
So on TripAdvisor, it's not going to change how you show up in the search listings. They have to be on your actual page searching rates on your hotel's page within TripAdvisor.
Gotcha.
So whether accurate or not, there is an assumption made, because I don't have the data from, you know, Expedia or from the brands to say if that's incremental revenue. So I'm making an assumption, whether right or wrong, that if they're on that TripAdvisor page and they're ready to book, they're very far down in that conversion funnel and they're ready to book, I'm making the assumption that they're either going to book it on whoever's ranked at the top, whatever OTA is ranked at the top, or they can, you know, choose to book direct if we are placed there. So in terms of incrementality, it's not incremental exposure. And the only incrementality that you're getting in this transaction is the difference in the commission saved, because I'm assuming that you're going to get that reservation anyways.
Right. Okay. So that's the point that you're coming from, is that, okay, what we have an individual who is further down in the funnel. So I think around that, referred to as the intent stage, or, I mean, it's sliced up in so many different ways when you look into it, but they're kind of down towards that bottom piece. They're searching on particular hotel. So your argument is that, okay, so I could get that through an OTA anyhow. So why am I going to spend the money on the meta search when I could be using that money elsewhere? Just take the booking in through the OTA. But then I guess the argument is, people are saying, yeah, okay, but I pay X different percentages. So then we start to get into a financial analysis about which is maybe the best approach to go. Is that fair?
Yeah. So I think, you know, every hotel is going to be different. Every market's going to be different. So in my analysis, where we work with majority branded hotels, the commission rates that you're paying Expedia, Booking.com, these guys has been really, really well done. I mean, you're talking about commission rates that range from 11 to 14%, which, compared to an independent hotel, is going to be a huge difference. So when you're calculating your own hotel's ROAS to make sure, see if it's right for you, you know, that's one of the huge variables that comes into play is the commission rates. The other thing that comes into play, which varies massively across hotel and market, is the conversion rate. So, you know, if you're paying, if you're only converting at 1 per 20 clicks, 1 per 20 CPCs on Metasearch versus, you know, 1 per 10 or 1 per 40, like that's going to have a massive impact on what the ROAS is on your particular hotel.
And you mentioned the phrase, ROAS. So I'm sure for the digital marketeers that may be listening, that will mean a lot. It may not be something to everybody that might be listening to this. So ROAS, can you just tell us what that is?
So that's just going to be return on ad spend.
Okay.
And just calculated a little bit differently. Revenue minus expenses divided by expenses, or revenue divided by expenses. So it just depends on where you're, what calculation you're using.
So, but that key figure about the ROAS is a key component calculation. And I think when I was reading through one of your articles, you gave an example to illustrate how you're back to your original contention that if it is the same channel, we are not looking at a comparable ROAS. I spend this amount on my advertising, I get this booking value, I reduce off my commission rates, so this is my return. You're saying it's not we shouldn't be doing a direct apple to apple comparison in a sense. You're saying that, well, if we could get it through the OTA anyhow, then what we should be looking at is the difference between what we are saving not paying a commission rate to the OTA and putting money into Metasearch, and then working our ROAS on the basis of that differential. Did I understand that correctly? And I mean, if you've got an example to illustrate it out, that might help.
Yeah. So if you are, again, if you believe that you were going to get that reservation through an OTA originally, then you shouldn't be calculating your ROAS based on the total revenue of that booking. So if you have, if you're assuming that reservation at $200 came through Expedia, or that $200 reservation came through your Book Direct channel, the ROAS should not be calculated based off the $200, which is the value of that booking. It should be calculated on the incremental cost savings of the commission that you're no longer paying. So when you think about what your commission rates are, the only thing that's incremental, again, if you assume that you're going to get that booking otherwise, the only thing that's incremental or that's flowing down through the bottom line is that savings on commission. So then you have to compare what you were going to pay on commission versus what you're paying in a CPC model in terms of cost per click. So there's where you have to really look and say, sometimes if there's no lifetime value in this customer and this consumer is only staying this one time, and they're a transient person that's not going to be booking at your hotel over and over again, it might be cheaper just to let that reservation go to the OTA and save those cost per click dollars towards people that are higher in the conversion funnel that will put you in that consideration set earlier when people are in that search, you know, that are, you know, in their search process a little bit higher up.
I'm with you. So what you're saying is that if you were getting a booking at say $200, and for ease of figures, let's say the rate to Expedia was 10%, it wouldn't be, but so you know your commission on that is $20. But what you're saying is then what you have to do is you work out the cost of what you're spending through the Metasearch to acquire that booking. So let's say that you got the same booking, but that it only cost you, I don't know, $15 to get it or something like that. What you're saying is that?
Yeah, you have to look at it, you know, again, what your conversion, how many clicks does it take for you to get a conversion?
Yeah.
I would say if you, you know, $15 for acquisition is good, but I would say some hotels have a higher cost per acquisition than even that. So, you know, if you have a hotel that obviously has higher ADR, there's all these different variables that go into play. Mm-hmm. But it's at what point, you know, is it worth spending that $20 to get that reservation that you might have gotten anyways? Should you be spending that on something that truly affects, it gives you additional exposure that you wouldn't have had before?
Yeah, and that's the point. You're looking at it in terms of saying, okay, so what does it cost you to acquire that booking? And if the difference that what you've actually saved in cost is maybe you've saved $10-$15 or something to acquire that, it's like, well, okay, is that an effective use, or could you have driven that money further up the funnel to have acquired an additional, because you still would have got that booking through the OTA, but utilizing that money that you would have put into meta search further up the funnel may have actually driven some incremental revenue that would have then added a greater value than just the perceived difference of maybe $15, $18, $20, which is the discrepancy or the different cost value between the OTA and the meta search. Is that right?
Got it.
Right, good. And that's where it comes back to the ROAS, as you say, which is about looking at when you work that multiple out, when you work that calculation out on the differential, suddenly it's a completely different figure. And you could, you know, with the people that are good with this, you can throw those figures in and play with some figures in an Excel spreadsheet. But either way, if you accept the proposition that it's not incremental revenue, then it seems like a strong argument to be using that money to drive, even if you can make it work. It's like, well, it's still not incremental. You're just taking it from one place to another, which is the basic philosophy that you're driving at here, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's obviously, if you can turn them into loyal guests in terms of long-term value, then there's obviously going to be a larger cost savings over time.
Sure.
And I think one of the other points that my friends on the independent side brought up that I think was a super valid point is that even if you can only get them to your website, then you can at least, and they don't book, you still can get them added to your remarketing campaign. So they're at least in your wheelhouse so that you can contact them again. And then obviously if you can get them into a loyalty program, then you have their, email, and if they book direct, then you have their email. In the branded ecosphere, though, unfortunately, there's not a lot of transparency in that guest data component. The brands are doing some portion of meta search, that kind of ratio of what they contribute to your hotel and market is not necessarily clear. So there's some data points that you can obviously leverage on the independent side that on the branded side, we just don't have. So I don't want to discount some of those book direct things that are an option for independent hotels. You know, it's up to that individual hotel and marketing team to leverage those. And I challenge how many people are actually taking advantage of, those tools and pulling those levers to make sure that you're getting a fuller comprehensive opportunity out of those meta search shifts.
No, and that's a good point. And it's kind of why we emphasized at the beginning that we're looking at it from branded or flagged properties, because it is different. And I didn't realize, I mean, we've had a number of conversations over the time that we've been working together, and I've learned a lot about the differences. And I didn't realize it was, I wouldn't like to use the word restrictive, because that would be unfair. But there are certain things that an independent property does have access to that I would have assumed a branded property would have also had access to, but that isn't always the case. And this remarketing piece is a case in point. So probably then worth having then established that your view is, okay, all you're doing is choosing a different channel to get it from. And the proposition being, well, there are more effective ways of maybe utilizing that budget. Picking up on the fact that we do all have limited budgets at the moment, you're saying we should be driving that budget further up the funnel. And what, and I know you've kind of put some articles together around this over the past as well, but just while we've got you here, where would you be advising, and again with the caveat that it's branded and flagged properties, where would you be advising that they should be putting their budget? If you said, I know you want to go meta search, but I want to do this, where would you be looking to try and invest it instead?
Well, I think whether you're branded or independent, you need to look at who's traveling in your market right now and try to focus on that. So the booking windows are super short right now. Obviously, there's a lot of data out there that supports, you know, targeting your drive and leisure transient. Mm-hmm. A lot of the group hotels that we work with, they never really had exposure to that market because they relied so heavily on their group and BT base. Yeah. So it was a repositioning effort to make sure, you know, do we have the basics, like the content and imagery to support appealing to a transient guest? Because these full service hotels, they don't have the breadth of amenities anymore. They're competing, they're being brought down. Not only have they dropped the rates, but they're, from a service and amenity standpoint, they're competing with the select service hotel because mm-hmm. they don't have anything else. So you have to make sure that you, one, have the content and imagery to support a transient traveler. And then, you know, looking at, you know, where do you currently rank on the OTA sort order and seeing if you need to put money into some different initiatives or working with your market manager to increase your sort order. Some of the other things, obviously, you can look at doing Google AdWords PPC. With both MetaSearch and PPC, the cost per clicks are much lower than what they have been. And in some markets, before, when Expedia and Booking had pulled back their PPC dollars, it just meant less competition and meant the money could go a little bit further. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get people that are, you know, higher in that, you want to be in that consideration set when they're doing those searches. And then obviously you have social media. It's a very cost effective way to put geo-targeting parameters around people that may actually be traveling. And that for, at least for branded hotels, we've been working with Adara and Sojourn, which really takes in data layering from the, you know, airlines, car rentals, and different other tourism to try to find people that are in market and put relevant ads in front of people that you know have the propensity to actually travel during this time.
Okay, yeah. So that was Adara and Sojourn, yeah? So ADARA and SOJERN. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And then what about in terms of what can the hotel be doing within like its local market, I guess. I mean, you know, we all hear about the car drive market, but I mean, how can we engage with the local community? There must be ways of doing that to use that budget differently.
Yeah, I mean, I think showing that community support and involvement, especially on social media, goes a long ways. So depending on, you know, the restaurants, as we know, are struggling just as bad as the hotels. So how can you, mm-hmm. you know, lean in? If you are a full service hotel and you don't have any options in-house for F&B, you know, how can you leverage the local businesses to, you know, do food delivery, things like that? And there are, lost my train of thought.
Okay. We're just jumping.
Leaning into the local community is what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And existing relationships.
I think some of the other ways hotels can lean into the local community is going to fall, I think, more so on the sales standpoint. We've had a lot of difficult conversations with hotels from a sales team that, like, maybe didn't want specific types of businesses before, you know, mm-hmm. whether that be construction or going and being, you know, parking lot lizards, going and seeing, you know, what type of business might be staying at your competitor hotels.
Yeah.
Because it's always a hard thing because we're not going to be able to create the demand if it doesn't exist. You can really just shift it from another hotel over to yours.
Yes. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. and in terms of one of the things that you mentioned as well were things, some simple things, just like newsletters and utilizing the information that you already have within the hotel. And I think you mentioned it a moment ago about the retargeting, but whether or not it's all well and good talking about having this data, but whether we actually use the information we have in house and then look at it from a different perspective and turn it around and do something with it. Does that have any value?
I think that's low hanging fruit as well, just in terms of a communication piece. So you think about a lot of hotels either close or have reduced their staff. Mm-hmm. So you can really leverage the email marketing to reach a larger range and just keep that communication open, and so that you're front of mind when they are ready to start having those conversations. So obviously from an independent side, you know, even if you don't have a CRM, you know, consider doing some PMS exports and doing email marketing. If you on the branded side, even though you're not going to have access to your guest history unless you're using like a system like Clairvoyance for Hilton, but you from a B2B standpoint can still you don't have the same restrictions and you can do email marketing. So what we've had a lot of success with at Cago Marketing, especially for some of our group hotels, we don't want to be insensitive and start sending out, you know, group promo, you know, book better in the year and get this. Like not going to land well. But what we have had a lot of success with is, you know, bringing in the kind of humanizing the hotel, telling stories about our staff, you know, if there was a new baby or favorite recipe, things like that. People have really enjoyed. And even though we're not putting out offers, we're still getting, you know, replies to our newsletter and saying, hey, I do have this small group coming. And I think they're just excited sometimes that they know that there's a team still working at the property and they have somebody that they can go to and kind of talk to. So that's what's been more successful. And just also sharing what's going on in the community. Where are you at with your restaurant reservation options? You know, where are you at with allowing group capacities at your hotel in terms of events? Mm-hmm. So just sharing like FYI, this is what's going on in our market, because it's hard to keep up.
So in a way, back to your funnel scenario, you're looking in a sense of just creating that towards the top of the funnel around the awareness of what's going on. It doesn't have to be offers necessarily. It can just be letting them know that you're still in business and things, so then it just triggers that of course, and the next time, which could be in a week, it could be in 2 weeks, could be in a month's time, but if something comes back around, longer, but you know, it's that positioning, and that's where you could be. That's what you're saying is to use that money. It doesn't have to be a lot of money in terms of what you've outlined there around just newsletters. That's a bit of time, and just using the data you've already got as one example, isn't it?
And you have to be able to understand how many different touch points, either transient or group reservations, you know, or groups, you have to understand how many different touch points it takes. It's not like they're going to see and hear about you for the first time and be ready to make a transaction or sign on the dotted line at that point. You have to, you know, it's more of a, you know, long-term relationship in some of these scenarios. Mm-hmm. as you understand like the different pieces and where people are, and you know, obviously you need to be communicating your safety and cleanliness guidelines to make sure people feel safe, but I think it's only a matter, people still have their own hurdles sometimes to get through before they're ready to make that decision.
No, that makes sense. And just picking up on that point, almost as a final point, I think, so covered all the key areas we're going to touch on, but there is also, and just you've used that phrase a couple of times in this conversation about it being a long-term strategy. And rationally, when I read through your example as you broke it down, I could look at that and say, yeah, okay, logically, if I take on the basis, I'm just taking the same booking, but could I actually be using that money to get me incremental revenue? There's probably still this tendency to be thinking so short term and so much about immediacy that actually all I'm probably trying to do is just spread my money as low down the funnel as I possibly can to try and get that booking from anywhere, than maybe being a little bit more strategic and asking myself the question. I mean, that would be natural, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's just hard. I mean, I get it. You need to make payroll and you need to make debt services. And those are, you know, looming on owners and GM's minds a lot. You know, it's a heavy weight to be carrying right now when you aren't even, a lot of hotels aren't even break even. So it's hard to think farther out.
Yeah.
It's a struggle for sure.
Yeah.
To think holistically and long term when you're like, I don't know if I can pay. You know, I don't know if I can pay what I need to this year, month.
It's unspent. And that's the thing, isn't it? It can drive you to make those more shorter term decisions. I think the point you're making is just, get that. Is there a part of the pie that you could be taking out? Because if we all assume that we're all not going to disappear into a dark hole and that we will come out of it in some point in time, then if we can start to look slightly more medium term, even if not long term, and use some of those resources in a slightly different way, then we can be positioning ourselves for the months ahead rather than just the days or weeks ahead. But it's an interesting proposition. It's an interesting point of view. I know it's certainly created a bit of a discussion. So it was great to have the chance to get you on here, hear from you exactly what the thought process and where you were coming from when you made that statement. Any final kind of thoughts, comments, or points that you wanted to make around why you don't think right now is where we should be investing in MetaSearch?
Well, I think, you know, you can't take a blanket approach in anything in marketing. You can't do the spray and pray model. You really have to look at what's going on in your hotel, in your market. So you're not even going to be in the same boat as the hotel across the street, you know, the hotel in the state over. So as long as you're taking a very individualized approach to each one of your strategies, you're going to have more success. And just, you know, the more niche and targeted campaigns that you're going to run, the less waste you're going to have in terms of spend. And hopefully that'll come through holistically. Like, we're working with a full service hotel whose e-channels are up 300% year over year. Wow. And as a, you know, as a group hotel, I didn't know if we had, I didn't know how we were going to fill some. I mean, occupancies are sure not exactly where they want to be, but we've seen, you know, being able to capitalize on transitioning to those e-channels where we relied so heavily on group before. So it's, you know, the demand has to exist, but I do believe you can steal that market share from the competition if you plan strategically.
Well, there's a classic example that it can be done, isn't it? As you say, the markets are tough, but there's proof in the pudding of exactly a hotel that you can work with and that you can reframe what business they are pulling in at the moment. Brilliant to have the chance to talk with you again. Great to have you join us once more. Great to also pick up on a topic that I think nice to have a different point of view and to look at things from a different direction, because it's very easy sometimes just to follow the crowd and do what everyone else is doing. So thanks for explaining that. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks, Trevor.
So that's the end of our conversation today. I'd like to thank Stephanie for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting and gave you some things to consider. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link will be in the podcast notes. And if you can subscribe on YouTube, that would be great, because it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.